right, hello, welcome to the Star Wars Stuff podcast, where we talk about everything Star Wars. I am James.
Joseph.
David.
And this week, in honor of my birthday that is about to happen.
This week we're going to start it off with a toast of green milk.
Green milk. You don't want to know what we had to do to get this.
You don't want to know what we had to milk. And, and Sonic drink, sponsored by Sonic.
Yeah, sponsored by Sonic. So there we go. Here's our green
milk. Here's to 30 years for James.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, here we go.
Fresh from the teat.
From Octu.
From Octu.
Only Octu C-Cal.
And David actually bought me a gift here.
Yeah, and he said it is for the podcast.
It's for the podcast
to open
itself. So, yeah, for so, those. Yeah, what you got?
So the bag, that bag is actually from the 90s.
Wow. Oh, really?
No, that, yeah, it's actually from
man,
the 90s.
That's the gift.
I thought you just, yeah. I'm
yeah, that's, there's gift. Nothing in it. That's the gift, yeah.
And for those of you who are listening to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you're listening, if you go to YouTube right now, look up Star Wars Stuff Podcast, you can see this now. You can see us like opening this thing.
But so, for those of you that aren't doing that, we'll just describe
we'll describe
it
as a very,
very,
very well.
Return of the Jedi
bag.
It's got Luke and Vader on it fighting.
You know, I never liked this because that's the shot from The Empire Strikes Back. It's not the shot from...
Yeah,
because
he doesn't have the blaster.
It always bothered me every single time I saw this. I was like, why didn't they just get a shot from Return of the Jedi? Okay, so here we go.
Yeah, there's actually two things in there.
There's two things. I'm going to pull out one right now. Wait, hold on. What's this?
Don't read it. Just open it.
Just open it and then flip it around. All right, I'm a little nervous to see what this is. Okay, and here we go. Wait, what is this? Oh, I have to open it. I see what you're saying. It's a bag.
And Joseph read it.
And Joseph read it. Okay, so.
He spoiled their surprise.
That's pretty darn cool.
All right, so he got me the dice.
The solo dice.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much, man. I wasn't expecting that at all.
That's
pretty,
pretty
cool. That's amazing. So there it is. That's fantastic. You said there's something else in here?
Yeah, there's something else in
one
there.
One more thing. Yeah. Feels like a...
Oh, that's awesome.
Another shirt.
Just what I need in my life.
Guess he's going to be wearing that next week.
Yep. I got a BB-8 button-up shirt.
Oh, that is awesome.
Oh, thank you so much, man. I really appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. And I think that deserves a...
Another toast
to great gifts and all stuff. Right. Yeah, there we go. Green milk. Here we go.
To James's birthday.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Which is tomorrow, right?
Which is tomorrow, yes. Some people will wish me happy birthday today.
It'll be today.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, when this is uploaded, Monday will be my birthday. And there I am. I'm old. So I was telling
that's
my mom.
The youngest person on the podcast.
I was telling my mom, I was like, Mom, I'm going to be 30. And she goes, you're going to be 15. I was like, I still act like I'm 15, so I mean, I guess that's the way it is. All right, so on to business now, what happened this week in Star Wars? Do we have any news? Because, I mean, I know they released those pictures of Ray Park on our, on Insta. I mean, it's on our Instagram. If you want to look at our Instagram, Star Wars Stuff Podcast, and those pictures look pretty dope. Like how well they were able to do his legs and everything. Do you think we will be seeing Darth Maul in future movies now that they actually made him look pretty cool? You know what I mean? Like,
well, we don't know what the status is of the standalone films now.
Yeah, that's true, because of how Solo performed. Man, that sucks, because it's so cool, though. He looks amazing. I mean, I don't know what y'all's.
I thought he looked pretty awesome. They aged him really well, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know Ray Park also is older looking now, but I think they did the makeup really cool. It was a good kind of between the cartoon and the live action version. I thought it was excellent.
Yeah, when I first saw it in Solo, I was obviously surprised. Right? That really caught me off guard, and because I was just waiting in the theater for some big thing, some big Easter egg, something.
Right,
like,
and they gave it to
get
us
out of our seat. And I remember we were sitting in the theater, we like looked at each other like...
And everybody was like kind of wondering, is this really happening? Did they really bring Maul back into Star Wars movies?
Well, and the craziest thing is the people who aren't us, like the people that haven't been keeping up with everything that's come out Star Wars-wise, are like, how is he not dead? I had so many people that know that I'm... You know, borderline obsessed with the story of Star Wars. That were like, so he's alive?
The way they shot it was they showed the mechanical feet first.
Yes.
So that could sink in, which I think they did it the right way. And then they showed him take his hood off.
Yeah.
But when I saw him, I was like, is that Ray Park?
Yeah.
It didn't look like traditional Darth Maul.
Yeah. That's, you know, and I'm not going to lie, I didn't hear a word he said in that scene because I was too busy. I was too busy, one, freaking out, and then I was going, is this really happening? And then also I was like, is that Ray Park? Because if it's not Ray Park, it's not Maul.
Right.
But then you really look at it and you go, that's him. That's Ray Park.
It's the best way to do Maul, too, because it's Ray Park's body and physique and stuff like that with Sam Witwer's voice. I think, you know, he really defined Sam, you know, Ray Park introduced us to the character and said, hey, this is Darth Maul. He looks really cool, but he didn't really put too much feeling and emotion into it because he didn't really have a chance to do so. Sam Witwer took that character and just escalated it to where it is in the fandom now, in my opinion.
It's awesome. Yeah. I mean, it was amazing to see him as Maul. I mean, and then hear the voice. So, yeah.
Did you guys automatically think that was Sam Witwer?
No. Well, because it sounded like the show.
Yeah.
But it didn't hit me. Because, like I said, I wasn't listening to a word he was saying. I was too busy going, is this really happening in Solo right now? But then after, like, hearing the voice, like, and I think they even have a clip now online. They released it. If you hear it now, it's super obvious. But at the time, no. And then I had to go home and then look it up. But then I got really excited when I found out Ray Park, yes, and also Sam Witwer.
Yeah, I was like, man, they got somebody really close sounding to Sam Witwer.
They were like, oh, they got
him. And I was like, oh, they actually got Sam Witwer. I did the same thing with Ray's Force Vision in The Force Awakens. I was like, man, that guy sounded an awful lot like Obi-Wan.
And you're like, that was Obi-Wan.
It was actually Obi-Wan. You know, like Ewan McGregor.
Mm-hmm. No, he's Obi-Wan Kenobi. Like,
He's again.
Yeah, but anyways.
So, yeah, sitting in the theater, I thought they got Peter Serafinowicz back to do the voice, because I didn't think Sam Witwer would be carried over from Rebels. So I automatically thought they would do and stick with canon. But to me, that's fine. Sam Witwer's a big Star Wars fan. I've seen him do interviews and do other impressions. He can do a really great Emperor.
He has probably the best Emperor. Holy crap, that was fantastic. Yeah.
And he does have an encyclopedic knowledge of Star Wars as well.
Yeah, he's one of us.
I've seen him do trivia, and he just smokes everyone and really doesn't get anything wrong.
That's amazing.
Yeah, he has an incredible mind like that. And he was on the Star Wars show this week, and he talked about how he was able to give his own opinions on things, him and Rey, and give them the input that the lightsaber that Maul should have is either the Inquisitor saber, which did show up,
right,
or the Darksaber, which the Darksaber would have been really cool to see on screen finally.
That would be fantastic.
Well, in the way, because I watched the Star Wars show this week, and the way he kind of presented it was Ron was just going to put a random lightsaber in there, and he's like, well, it's got to be either this or that, and you know, it's got to fit with the canon,
yeah,
Mr. Howard. So,
I think it was a producer wanted to put the Phantom Menace saber in.
That's insane to think. Do you imagine like how turned off we all would have been? Like the moment he called that lightsaber to him, we all would have been like, no, that's not right.
How does he have that? Yeah.
And how close it came. Like I want to know whether or not they actually had the saber on set. Like whether or not they had already made it and they were like, this is what we're gonna give them. And then if he was like, no, that's not the saber, you know what I mean? Like that's just, I wanna know how far that got before somebody stopped him. Cause I'm not gonna lie, I would have been really, really upset if they showed it.
It would have been one of those things that completely would have taken me out of the movie where I'm just like, oh man, they got so much of this right. And then to mess up this small detail, that's not going to mean anything to a lot of people, but to me, that would have ruined.
Technically, he could have recreated his saber from the Phantom Menace, that would have to be canon from then on out. So then they'd have to interweave that saber in with everything else.
And me and James were talking about it before you got here about, you know, Obi-Wan's lightsaber from episode 1 to episode 2, he basically recreated
the exact same saber.
And
then from 3 to 4, it's the same one.
Right.
But the design of it,
I love Obi-Wan Kenobi's lightsaber because the back end of it has like basically a maul on the backside of it where if the lightsaber doesn't turn on for some reason, you could just beat people over the head with it. Not that Obi-Wan would, but he totally would.
That'd be pretty cool to see though. But I was saying, like, what's really funny about that lightsaber design and how you can look at it and see, like, the bottom of the lightsaber kind of carries over until Obi-Wan's older.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can kind of go, oh, that's, I could see how the genesis of what his lightsaber looked like before he died. But then you got to think that they didn't plan that. Even McGregor himself picked that lightsaber.
Right.
Like, it wasn't like George Lucas was like, this is what his lightsaber. No, they gave him a box and said, hey, pick your lightsaber.
He went for one that he felt Obi-Wan would have.
Yeah, he was like, I'm feeling this one. This is the one I'm feeling right now. That must have been crazy. Amazing.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that part from the Phantom Menace mm-hmm. documentary.
Oh,
and I think, I'm not sure, was it on the documentary or was it in some other interview where Liam Neeson said the reason why he picked that hilt was because it didn't have a lot of buttons or anything.
Right.
So he could just cleanly grab it and just twirl it around. Beautiful. And not mess up his hands as much.
I heard he and Ewan McGregor were doing the sound effects, like whenever they would. Yeah. And, oh, did y'all see that picture Ray Park posted where he was away from social media for a while? And he says, this was why. And it was a picture of him bald. And he goes, this is why I was away for a little while. Oh, I was like, you suck, man.
Yeah, him nor Sam Witwer could tell anyone what they were doing.
That's incredible.
It's just, that cameo. Is it a cameo technically? Whatever that surprise is.
Yeah, I would call it a cameo.
Or Easter egg or whatever you want to call it. Like, the fact that it didn't leak before that movie came out.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Is just insane to me.
But I had heard right before the movie came out, I read some reviews and somebody said some of the things dropped in this movie affect the whole franchise. Things that you didn't really think about.
Right.
And I was thinking, how could that...
Like, what in...
Why? Like, what news...
What in tarnation?
What in tarnation? like why in the Solo movie would this be dropped and then would affect everything? And this story kind of does affect everything. And if they get to do what they wanted to do, which we hope they do, is they could have, like, this underlying storyline underneath all of the original films leading up to Episode 9. I mean, they could... Kira could be doing some stuff.
Some back alley deals mm-hmm. and smuggling, and get Black Sun involved and Crimson Dawn, and oh my gosh.
And then you go from there to like how did the Empire know this was going to happen? How did the Empire know mm-hmm. that was happening? It's like, well, they told them because they were spying on them. And then you can just go really crazy with all of that. And I would love to see that. I'm dying to see a Star Wars story. Almost like Lost Stars, Claudia Gray's.
Yeah.
Lost Stars, where it's underneath the timeline of the original.
The story weaves in and out of the original trilogy.
They have to do that. That would be the greatest thing. You're not messing with it. You're just adding more layers to it. Like, that's what I want to see. I mean, hopefully we get that with the live-action Star Wars stuff. I mean, the TV shows.
Favreau show.
Yeah, the Maul lightsaber thing freaks me out, though.
Why is that? That
someone wasn't there to say, hey, you cannot use that lightsaber.
This. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Well, okay, so one thing I've realized about the Star Wars movies, as amazing as all these movies are, they are still films, and there are still people working on them, and they all make mistakes, and things happen that they don't even think about. Like, you heard about the compass that Luke had in the movie. Apparently, when they were writing the game, somebody said, oh yeah, this is happening, should we put it in the movie? Yeah, sure, put it in. And it was like, okay, cool. And they made it and they put it there. And it's like, nobody planned that. It was just one of those things, like, oh hey, we're doing this too. Oh yeah, yeah, go ahead and do that. I'm pretty sure that's what the hyperdrive tracking was in Rogue One, where it was like,
well, the way that came about was Last Jedi and Rogue One were simultaneously mm-hmm. shooting,
right.
And productions were talking to each other. That's why they were able to sneak that in.
So as great as Star Wars is, it's still a movie, and it's still people making them, and it's still people accidentally stumbling upon cool things. But then it's also like, you know, somebody could make a really big mistake, and then we'd all be really disappointed. But luckily, but you would think there'd be like, you know, Pablo would be there, or
yeah, they have a story group.
It's
five people.
Yeah, but like on the set. To make sure the lightsaber thing doesn't...
Yeah, like with Rogue One, Matt Martin was actually on set mm-hmm. to kind of... I know he like operated Chopper, but I'm pretty sure he did more than that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He was kind of like looking over things and making sure everything was canon. So it's... To me, it's like, yeah, you should have someone there
who
at all times just be like, oh, no, you can't do that.
But, okay, here's what I'm going to say, though. If they don't have those people... We are available. I mean, like, we will go there, and we will be there on set to make sure.
If not us, Sam Witwer should probably
be Sam Witwer should be on set all the time.
Right. Star Wars kind of lucked out having him there.
Oh, man. That would have been a disaster. That would have, like, all the fans would have just been like, yep, that's it. It's over. They don't care. They just want to make money. which they do, but you right. know what I mean? But they also want to entertain us at the same time. Yeah. So, but meh.
And to go along with your birthday, I've lived 7 years and several days longer than you, or 7 years and a month longer than you. And it feels like the higher you go up in any type of job or career, it always feels kind of like that. Like it's never airtight. Mm-hmm. There's always, so, no matter if it's Lucasfilm or mm-hmm. a big tech company, it feels like stuff can happen and people can make mistakes, and they do make mistakes that it's like, how did that even happen?
Yeah.
Were
there any mistakes in, besides the story, I don't want you to jump on me, but were there any mistakes you saw in The Last Jedi? Like did Johnson make any mistakes with his story? Don't be like,
well, I can't say story because I just don't agree with the whole Luke concept.
That wasn't like out of,
but yeah, did he do something wrong? The only thing that he said he couldn't control was the sun at the beginning of Last Jedi, whenever she's handing the lightsaber to Luke.
No,
because when Abrams filmed it, it was overcast. He says, but then when we went back out there to film it, the sun came up. We're like, crap, okay, I guess we got to make do with what we have. That was probably the only thing in all of The Last Jedi that I was like, that's a mistake.
Yeah.
But what about, I mean, did you see anything like...
Well, see, growing up, I always thought that Star Wars was more science fiction, but now I feel like it's more fantasy. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, there's no... I mean... ships don't react the same way they do in space compared to atmosphere, and the ships in space are reacting as if they were in some type of atmosphere and having wind resistance,
right?
You know, well, so
that always bothered me, the way like an X-wing would turn is
how it banks. Like,
I don't know, man.
So
you would need repulsors on the top and bottom wings and things like that.
So given that, I mean, Lucas put in several words in the prequel trilogy like, will be dead ducks. I mean, are there ducks?
Sitting
in,
ducks.
In episode one.
Okay, sitting
me
ducks.
Nuts. It drives me. I hate that line so much because I'm like, this isn't a colloquialism in a galaxy far, far away.
So, ducks exist in Star Wars, but dogs don't. I know George Lucas said no dogs exist in space because I know Rian Johnson wanted to put Carrie Fisher's dog in The Last Jedi, but they had to, like, put like some type of,
it was like,
I don't think they put anything on the dog. They just made a
replica. That looked like
it.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was like a three-eyed alien dog looking creature.
It's in the scene in Canto Bight, if I'm not mistaken.
But in The Last Jedi, they used the word Godspeed.
Yes, they did. They used it twice.
So, yeah.
But then they also dropped Hell and Empire.
Right.
So, what are the rules? There are no rules in Star Wars.
So this is the way I look at Star Wars, and I've looked at this at Star Wars this way for the past 3 years. It's really a story being told to you like at bedtime. It's like a bedtime story. That's what it really is. Okay. It's not science fiction. It's a fantasy story.
But I've always thought about it as a fantasy story. Like I never looked at it. Yeah, it's science fiction.
I have too, but more sci-fi fantasy. Now I look at it as strictly just fantasy.
I don't know. I've always, to me, like it's so science fiction, it's fantasy to me. Like, to where I don't even think about it as science fiction. Like, for me, it's Star Wars is just its own genre, in my opinion. Whereas I watch movies like
Close Space
Encounters,
Opera.
Yes. Right. Where I watch movies like Close Encounters of the Third Kind, or I watch movies like, I don't know, any other Spielberg movie. And it's like, that's E.T. like E.T. or AI. Like, that's science fiction. Like, that's pure science fiction. But then when you watch Star Wars, like, that's its own. It's science fiction, but it's told in the Star Wars world, where it's almost more fantasy than anything else.
Well, the thing about the Star Wars universe is they never explain the science behind the fiction. It's always...
This is it.
That lifts off the ground because it lifts off the ground. That's how that machine works. That doesn't explain anything else, whereas I feel like Star Trek... Like, they're like, here's how you get to light speed, or they don't even call it light speed in Star Trek. I don't watch Star Trek.
What do they call it in Star Trek?
It's not light speed. It's
warp speed.
Warp speed.
There is warp speed. But I was about to call my wife. Like, what is it called? Just poked your
head.
But
yeah, and then there's different gradients of warp speed in Star Trek. Whereas light speed, everybody just moves at the speed of light.
Yep.
How do they do it? They have light speed engines. How do they get that quick? That's just how the engines work.
Like, he uses coaxium.
Yeah. There you go. Now we found out. Now they explain that. How do the lightsabers work? Like, yeah, it's a crystal, but then how does that even work?
It's a crystal.
It's a crystal
that turns on because it's sort of alive.
So I guess that's what I like about Star Wars, where it's like this is, and that's what made it so, I guess, believable in a weird way.
Yeah.
Was that the story starts, and then you just go. There's no like explanation for how long did it take me to build this giant Death Star thing in space? Like, we don't know, but we all accepted it right away when we saw it back in 1977.
Which was about 20 years.
But then we find out, yeah, it's about 20 years. But you know what I mean? Like, at the time, we didn't question any of that shenanigans. But now, I don't know. Now people want to know, like, the answers to all of that stuff. Like,
right. Why but they're not going to get them because there's no Earth science to back up the Star Wars science. You know what I mean? There's nothing that we can possibly glean from that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Star Wars is kind of like it's fantasy meets sci-fi in my opinion, because it's the storyline kind of goes along with things like Lord of the Rings. Mm-hmm. And you know, and it's like a lot of times people compare Star Wars to even like Harry Potter nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's got a similar feel to it. I mean, I know it's just the hero's journey.
Mm-hmm.
The arc, yeah. But yeah, it's sci-fi, but it's mostly fantasy with a sci-fi skew, maybe. Mm.
Yeah. I don't know. I love it. I love it. I love the way it's told. And I think it was just like really ballsy of Lucas to tell the story in the way that he did and put it in space. And did mm-hmm. you... My brother-in-law told me this. I don't know if it's true or not, but right after Star Wars came out, they asked Lucas to do Lord of the Rings. Because of the scale that he was able to do Star Wars on, they wanted him to make a live-action Lord of the Rings, like in the 70s, 80s, that era. And apparently he worked on a draft, but then he was like, I gotta do Star Wars. And he, like, stopped. But apparently somebody had asked him after seeing Star Wars, you should do Lord of the Rings next. Because that's, like, the next big thing that nobody's been able to film, you know, ever.
Interesting. I'd never heard that before.
I don't think I've ever heard that either.
Just pulling my leg or anything, but I thought that would be pretty crazy to see. But I was going to say something, but I forgot. But meh. Oh well.
Well, the other interesting
cool
piece
story.
Of news.
Cool story, bro.
The other interesting news that I thought was very interesting was the fact that Rian Johnson is going to do another film that's not Star Wars.
Between yeah.
Why?
So. Yeah, to me it struck me as odd because he needs to create a trilogy
mm-hmm.
from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
And you see what Peter Jackson went through with Lord of the Rings. He shot it back to back to back.
Mm-hmm.
And it took 7 years of his life to complete.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about that amount of work. And then Rian Johnson, he's going to do a film before he does it. So he's got four films now that he's in charge of to create and complete. And then I also found out that he's going to start his own company to make this film. And it's like, wow, I mean, he's going to be super, super busy. So I thought it was kind of odd. But no one's really talking about that.
Do you think he's doing this? Like Kennedy said, hey, go make this. Let everything kind of die down. And then when Nine comes out and everybody sees how great it is, then we can start with your trilogy. Like, do you think she's saying, I need to focus all of my energy and power on Nine right now. I need to get this movie made. Like, that can also be a thing. And he was kind of like, okay, well then...
Well, I'm not going to just sit on my butt for
Bergman and I can go and do what this other project that we really want to do. And then whenever you're done, then we'll jump on this one next. Like, that could possibly be the conversation that was had.
But if he's going to be the creator of a brand mm-hmm. new Star Wars trilogy that has nothing to do with any established characters, that's a whole lot of work.
Yeah, it is a whole
so
lot.
So he wouldn't be doing nothing per se. You still have to create the story, flesh out the characters, get the locations, and figure all that out. So,
well, have they said when his movies are supposed to come out? There hasn't been a solid
They haven't given a solid release date, but his producing partner, Ron Bergman, said that
it was
as soon as 2020.
Yeah, like it was supposed to happen.
So that's not happening.
No, there's no way.
Yeah, there's no way. Well, unless
he
already has a major chunk
of
the story or the whole story down, and now he's just relying on ILM and whoever to construct the sets. Figure out the locations, the scheduling.
And at the same time, I can't imagine that they would greenlight a trilogy without him having a big chunk of at least the first part of that
Yeah, I was going to say
conceptualized when, and written out and
yeah, when they first announced him doing the trilogy, I was already under the impression that he had the story already for them and they said, "Yes, this is what she greenlit the whole thing right off the bat." I as much as I want to think like, yeah, he did such a great job Last Jedi, that she was like, yeah, whatever you decide, I'll do. I think she was like, what do you have?
Right.
He showed her. She said, okay, perfect. And we don't know how big, what's it called? Knives Out? Knives, is that the name of this
starring
thing?
Daniel Craig.
Okay, so did you ever see the Brothers Bloom? Did you ever see Looper?
I've never seen Ryan Johnson Looper film other than...
Amazing.
Okay, but I'm talking about his smaller
film. I haven't seen his smaller stuff yet.
This could be one of those movies that he does. This could be probably one of those. Probably is. Yeah, where he comes in...
Because it doesn't even have distribution yet. Unless exactly. It just happened at TIFF. I think TIFF is going on right now.
Which, I mean, like, he could just make a movie in the span of like 2 months, get back to his independent roots, you know, that mm-hmm. that made him big, and then that's only going to take just a couple of months for him to film,
right?
And then edit, and then he's going to release. He's like, okay, now I can go and do Star Wars now.
Well, and also he probably doesn't want to get burned out on Star Wars.
Yeah,
I mean, the last thing he did was The Last Jedi. Mm-hmm. He probably doesn't want to jump straight from The Last Jedi straight into another Star Wars trilogy that he's committed himself to. He probably wants to, because I mean, I know, like, if I'm reading or, you know, playing a game or something like that, I don't want to continue the same storyline back to back to back to back. I will read one and then be like, I'm going to go do something else for at least 20 minutes. You know what I mean? And I'm not creating a movie where I'm going to have to dedicate 6 months of my life to it. It's literally like a day. But yeah, so, you know, maybe making this other movie is like a vacation from Star Wars, because Star Wars went from a passion to his job.
Yep. I've listened to his commentaries. Like I said, I was obsessed with him before Last Jedi. So I listened
and you met him.
And I met him. And I met him, too, which was amazing.
And I've met him, too.
Yeah. But I met him before Star Wars.
Have you met him? No.
No, nobody famous ever talks to me.
So Ryan,
I met somebody from Scrubs one time.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, really? Yeah, he was at HEB.
Who was it? He played the Dude Meister. It was one of Elliot's boyfriends.
That guy,
Keith Dude Meister. It was the one that she almost married before JD. This is totally off Star Wars.
But that is, well, anyways, that you met him.
That and Dante from Clerks are the only two famous people I've ever actually
met. You met Dante from Clerks?
Yeah.
Wow.
To Austin Books and Comics, and he just happened to be there.
He was you shook his hand, and he was like, "I'm not even supposed to be here." Like,
I'm not even supposed to be here today. No, it's a funny story because I, at the time, and I still do, I love the VSQ universe, all that Kevin Smith movies. I was like obsessed with them, and I walked in and I was like,
dude,
that's Dante. And I immediately went to the back corner of the store because I was like, I can't talk to Dante, he's like famous and stuff. And like my friends were with me and they were like, just go, he's a dude, just go talk to him. And I was like, yeah, but that's Dante, man. He's in Clerks 2 and you know, the one with the lesbians. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Chasing Amy.
Thank you. I was like, he's a dude, like. And so eventually I did. I was like, hey, I just want to tell you I really like your films. Dante's great. Okay, cool. And I got a picture, and I think I have it on my Facebook still. This was years ago.
That's amazing.
But yeah, I'm no good with famous people.
Well, my story with Johnson was he was promoting, I think I've told this before on a podcast, but I'll say it again. He was promoting Looper up in Austin, at the South Lamar Alamo Draft House. And the girl I was dating at the time thought that Joseph Gordon-Levitt was going to be there. So she was like, we need to go to see Joseph Gordon-Levitt. So I was like, okay, let's go see Joseph Gordon-Levitt. All right. So we parking was insane. And we're looking around, and I'm like, okay, he's not here. There's no way
Joe Go Lazy.
Because what was funny was the day before he was on Saturday Night Live. So I'm like, there's no way he flew down from New York to Austin in like a day. Like, this is insane. And then I'm walking around and I see a group of people and I'm looking, and I just see the short guy with glasses on. I was like, that's Ryan Johnson. I was like, holy crap. I was like, I wanna, and people were getting pictures with him, and then I'm like just off to the side, and finally he had a break and I was like, can I get a picture? He goes, yeah, sure. And he puts his arm around me, and I was like, giving a thumbs up, and I was like, starstruck. I was like,
I'm best friends with Ryan.
And then
he took
the picture, and I was like, hey. I don't even know if I said thank you. I was just too busy going, yeah. I think the girl I was with, she was like, thank you. She said thank you for me. And I was on cloud nine. I was just for it, like, this is amazing. But I say all that to say this about Ryan Johnson. I've heard his commentaries, and what he says toward the end of each production is once he's editing, he is already looking forward to the next story because he's done with that world. Like he says, the actors, the crew, everybody, they come in, they make the movie, and then they leave. He goes, but I still have like 4 or 5 months editing this thing, promoting this thing. He goes, I'm done. I just want to get rid of it. So I'm pretty sure with Star Wars, that was what it was, where he was like, at the end of 8, he was kind of like, all right, I need to...
I just need to clean the system out real quick, and then I'll jump back into it.
I mean, hopefully that's what he's doing.
So that's the only Rian Johnson movie you've seen is Last Jedi? Dude, you need to watch Looper.
Dude, you need to watch The Brothers Bloom. And you need to watch Brick.
But Looper is legitimately one of the probably best films in the last...
It's a great time travel film, I'll say that. Like, it messes with you because you're like, what?
Yeah, but it's pretty wild.
I own it if you want to watch it. Like tonight, just saying. One thing we had heard at the beginning of this year, when The Last Jedi came out, was that Amazon sold out of The Last Jedi Blu-rays,
right?
Warehouse nationwide. It wasn't just like, oh, this warehouse, because in San Marcos there is a Amazon warehouse here. That one was sold out. Mm-hmm. Every Amazon warehouse in the United States was sold out of The Last Jedi. They just released the numbers again, and they said it is still the highest-selling Blu-ray of the year. Everybody thought Black Panther was going to pass it or Infinity War was going to pass it. No. Wow. Last Jedi is still number one of the year. And a friend of mine, he's a jokester. He posted on Facebook, I bought 3 of them and used them as Frisbees. And I laughed at that because I was like, but you still bought 3 of them. It didn't really help out. Just like people burning the Nike shoes after they buy the Nikes. You know, it's like
you still have your $25.
They still took all the money. So, I mean, that's pretty cool. I mean, that means like a lot of people still really, really, really like The Last Jedi. Or somebody just wants to build The Last Jedi up more than what it is. I don't know. What do you think?
I guess I only talk to you guys.
Oh, fair enough.
That's true. I used to talk at work about Star Wars, but that was legitimately just with James.
Yeah, with me. And then he moved. But now we can talk about all day. Yeah, here we go. But I just think that's fantastic, though, that it's Star Wars is still kind of reigning supreme, even after it's been out for, I don't know, how many months? Like, was it March it came out on Blu-ray? And now it's March, April, May, June, July, August. It's September, and it's still
about
number 6 one.
6 months, yeah.
That's insane. And then Solo comes out Friday, the 14th. Not Tuesday. A lot of people thought it was the 12th.
I wish it was Tuesday.
Or the 11th, but it's actually going to be on Friday. Are y'all going to get it? Or are y'all gonna
I've
watch
already
it,
pre-ordered it.
Yeah, I pre-order everything.
I think our next podcast should be the commentary to Solo. I think that's the first thing we should drop is the commentary, because for me, I want to watch it again because I only saw it that one time.
Yeah.
Because I suck. But I really want to watch it again.
I'll probably watch it back-to-back then because I'll watched it the day it came out, and then I'll watch it again when I come over here.
All right. I saw Mission Impossible Fallout this week.
Mm-hmm.
Great movie. And when it came up to the producers, I was like, okay, I know Abrams is attached to this. He's probably going to be executive producer because he's way busy. Homeboy was a producer of Mission Impossible Fallout, not an executive. Mm-hmm. He produced it. How much work does Abrams do a year, man? I mean, between producing this giant Mission Impossible movie, he was also writing the script to Star Wars. How does he do that? I mean, it doesn't make any sense how extremely busy this guy is.
He's like a bear. He's awake for 6 months straight, and then he goes to bed for 6 months straight, I think.
I was blown away by the fact that he's doing all of this and Star Wars at the same time. It just, I don't know how he does it, man.
He's a beast, man.
I mean, well, what do you think?
So he does stuff on Westworld as well, right?
Yes.
It's his production company.
Yeah. I mean, he produces it as well.
Okay.
And he also has that new Castle Rock on Hulu.
Right.
Him and Stephen King produced that one.
Yeah.
And it's like, geez, dude, like, what are you... like, or is he executive producing Castle Rock and then Westworld? Or is he like...
I thought he was the executive
producer. Okay, so executive producer kind of means you're...
You pay people to do things
for you. And they carry it out for you.
Well, I mean, it varies. I mean, true, executive producers can be very hands-on, and then some of them can just, like, write a check and never see any dailies or anything.
Like, Benioff and Weiss, they, even though they're executive producers on Game of Thrones, like, they are writing, like, each episode almost pretty much.
And they're there for most of the filming, too.
Yeah. So, with Abrams doing all of this stuff, I'm like, how does he still have time to do Star Wars? Like, how does he have time to, like... to make this movie. I mean, so I'm praying that all the power he puts everywhere else, he's also focusing it 100% on Star Wars, and this is going to be the best movie ever. I mean, it has to be. Why are you laughing at me? Right, what else we got?
You mentioned Benioff and Weiss. Mm-hmm. How much have you heard of them lately?
They are nothing.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about their...
They are
absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Okay, so one, it could be they are focused 100% on finishing up Game of Thrones. Or two, they've already left Game of Thrones. They're already working on Star Wars.
Like writing that script. I think Game of Thrones is shooting still.
I thought they...
They wrapped shooting okay, so like almost a month ago at this point.
Yeah.
That's so going on.
Are they heavily involved in post-production? Or are they like trusting their directors that they've hired, trusting their editors and going, y'all do it, we're going to go write Star Wars now?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to do that. I think they're too invested in Game of Thrones to do something.
Yeah, they want to see it all the way through.
So if you look up Rian Johnson on Twitter, you'll see his Twitter, and he tweets a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot of tweets. If you look up Benioff and Weiss, nothing.
Well,
I don't think they're on social media at all.
I don't think they are. I was going to say, I don't think they're allowed, but I think to them, they have so much going on with the like, one of the most highly anticipated shows.
Well, I was
going to
say, their whole life is NDAs, non-disclosure agreements.
Yeah. So like, not only are they doing Game of Thrones, which nobody can know about at all, but they also have to work on a Star Wars movie, which no one can know about at all either. So I could understand them going like, we aren't even going to attempt to...
I don't even have a computer. I do everything on a typewriter.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like that's... I mean...
That's what George R. R. Martin style, right?
There you go.
Like an old...
That guy's an idiot.
I hate George R. R. Martin.
Why? Because he didn't finish his Lord of the Rings series or...
Game of Thrones, maybe?
Game of Thrones, that's what I was going to say. I did say, I don't know why y'all heard Lord of the Rings.
No, one of the things I've seen quoted of his is he's lucky if he gets a page and a half written in a day.
Wow. Jeez.
Have you seen how thick those books are? They are like this thick paperback.
I remember he was like, I'm amazed at how much Stephen King can write. I was like, well, you could do the same thing, man. Like you get paid to write books. Like just like Stephen King, like you can sit at home all day and write. Yeah.
Well, and I've read the first four and a half Game of Thrones books.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell it takes him so long to write it because by the time he gets to the fifth book, he has no recollection of how this character is supposed to behave because he hasn't written them in over 6 months or something like that. So it's just frustrating to read, I guess. Like the first three books of that series are incredible, but it's all downhill from there in that series.
So all credit goes to Benioff and Weiss for
the success of that
show. Because if not, the people would be like, this is not great at all. So given them, like, knowing what they've done with Game of Thrones, I was almost going to say Lord of the Rings again. What would they say, what they did with Game of Thrones, and then seeing it in Star Wars, like, it's got to be insane. Those movies are probably going to be absolutely insane and very entertaining. But here's my question. Star Wars never puts directors' names on any of their trailers. It's Star Wars. Are they going to put from the creators of Game of Thrones on these trailers?
So the thing about that I've noticed when they say from the creators of this, that means that that movie generally isn't very good.
Oh, geez, really?
From the producer of X. Have you ever noticed that? You know, when it says this person produced
something. You're saying.
A lot of the times those movies aren't going to be...
Unless you're Steven Spielberg.
Well, even then, some of the movies that are like Steven Spielberg presents, and you're like
Transformers.
Yeah, Transformers is trash.
It's a paycheck for Spielberg, yeah, man. He's just getting paycheck after paycheck. But okay, I see what you're saying. So I hope they just release these movies and people know that it's Benioff and Weiss doing it. It's a trilogy, right? Like or is it a series?
Well, they say a series of films. So
we have no idea.
Could be
a trilogy,
could be 37 movies.
They could they can do, and then I wonder if Kathleen Kennedy was kind of banking on their overall like storytelling from like six seasons of, or like how many, wait, it's gonna be seven seasons of Game of Thrones. Yeah. Whether or not she's gonna be like, all right, I need something to start with episode one and end on six. Go for it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm wondering if she, because when I heard series, I immediately thought they're doing six movies. Because if there was a trilogy, they would have said they're doing their own trilogy in Star Wars, same as Rian Johnson. But the language specifically was a series of films. So I'm thinking they're doing six films.
Well, they could want to... Kathleen Kennedy could be wanting some sort of, like, Avengers-style thing where maybe each movie kind of focuses on a different set of characters and the last one brings them all together for a common purpose.
That'd be insane. That'd be amazing.
I mean, Game of Thrones did something similar to that, where it's like, here's a character, here's a character arc, here's how they wind together, here's how they almost hit, and then they go their separate ways, things like that. So, I mean... If it's gonna be epic like that, why not have 5 movies happening simultaneously, and then the 6th one is all those storylines threading together?
Right. If Lucasfilm listened to the fans, that's what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna have a huge story, and they're gonna have a whole lot of connective tissue,
mm-hmm.
connecting each film, connecting the characters, having a big backstory, be very epic.
I can see Benioff and Weiss pulling that off, like giving us something that, giving us that story we've always wanted with a Star Wars movie. I mean, I love the story that's happening. I mean, I know, don't get mad at me, but I love the story that's going on right now. But to see like a brand new story.
Or my dice
head. give me back my kiss.
I gotta throw them at your head real quick.
But like, given like what they could do with it, it's just, it blows my mind. And plus, right now, I still can't comprehend a Star Wars movie without the Skywalkers. Like, I can't comprehend a Star Wars movie without the story of the Empire or the First Order versus the Rebellion, the Resistance. Like, I just can't. What else is out there? Like, what else in the galaxy far, far away is there for them to do? Like, I can't wrap my head around it, like, at all.
Well, they can do the very beginning.
True.
The First Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm reading the second Thrawn book that mm-hmm. Timothy Zahn put out right now, mm-hmm. and all of that happens in the Outer Rim, almost in unknown space of the known Star Wars galaxy. To the point where people on the planet that they've landed on don't even know who the hell Vader is. They just think he's some weird-looking robot guy in a black suit. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they could do stuff like that.
Could you imagine, like, they have a Planet of the Apes-type ending where these people are on this planet and they go and they find this crashed Star Destroyer, like, and they're like, what is that? Like, who built this?
Right.
Like, where, like, why is this here? And then you just go from there and you're like, whoa, people don't even, this civilization has no idea about
that, any of that,
any
happens.
Of,
yeah.
Like, anything we've all seen, they have no idea about that. And so that's a good story, right? I'd watch that, you know what I mean? But I'm anxious to see what the story's going to be for Johnson's and for theirs. Like, what's going to happen? We have no idea. So it's a great time to be a Star Wars fan. What are we going to say?
I don't know. I was going to sneeze.
Oh.
But I decided not to. Sorry.
But it is kind of crazy to be a Star Wars fan of this day and age. You know what I mean? Like, there was a while there where we all thought Episode 3 was it. There was no Star Wars films ever going to be made. And now they're saying you're going to get a Star Wars movie every year until
you die.
Until forever.
I just remember getting excited when I heard that the original cast was coming back for The Force Awakens. I was blown away. I was like, how did they get Harrison Ford to agree to this?
Yeah, how did they?
Money.
Sons of money, and they killed his character.
$50 million.
They paid him $50 million to do Star Wars?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
Why would you not want to have Han Solo? Because that's all people wanted. Everybody wanted Han Solo back. Yeah. But then everybody then realized, wait, I really want to see Mark Hamill again. And I want to see, and then Mark Hamill became like a very, very like popular actor almost after that.
Yeah, his popularity, it seems like it.
He came back.
Like,
yeah.
Mega fold increase.
Because, like, he was, yeah, he did the Joker. He did a few things. But it was, like, kind of like everybody was like, Harrison Ford's the only one who did anything. Like, that was all anybody ever said. Like, Harrison Ford was Indiana Jones. Like, Harrison Ford was Blade Runner, you know? Like, Harrison Ford.
Well, I think he was the only one that was, like, famous still.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
You know what I mean? The rest of them did a lot of work, but it was all kind of, it was low key. It was. Right. Writing, it was voice work, it was things like that. Mm-hmm. Mark Hamill's voice work is impressive. He's mm-hmm. done a ton of cartoon characters.
And then Carrie Fisher wrote drafts for so many scripts. I mean, so many screenwriters would go to her and she would be able to sit there and write, like, here's what you need to do. You need to take this part out. I need to do this. There you go.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, thank you. You know, like, you made my movie 10 times better.
So they just did stuff that wasn't as flashy as what Harrison Ford did.
But then when this new Star Wars came back, it was almost like they were all, like, it was almost like when they first came out in 1977, it was like, they're all household names.
It was a reunion tour.
Yes, and it was cool. It was really cool.
It was like
to
seeing
see.
The Beatles get back together or something, you know?
That blew my mind, but it's only two of them. Anyways.
And Mark Hamill hadn't acted in a very, very long time.
Mm-hmm.
So him being in a Star Wars film again made me nervous because... Mm-hmm.
Well, he hadn't acted to that scale in a
very long time. Yeah, I was asking myself, can this guy still act? And the answer is yes, he can still act.
Holy crap.
That's one of the reasons why I'm upset with The Last Jedi, because he could have acted a whole lot more in that, because we had that huge span of time where he was a nothing mm-hmm. as far as an actor is concerned. and he could act. He did a great job, and I was like so happy about that. But then again, he wasn't in it as much as I hoped he would
be. I always go back to that scene where he, after that beautiful monologue he gives to Kylo Ren, and then that close up on his face, just like the tears are in his eyes, that pain, but then also that knowledge that they got, like,
they're escaping. I'm leaving it in good hands.
It's like his plan worked, and I love like that last. And if you ever listen to the commentary, Rian Johnson even says, "He goes, I love this moment. He goes, I'm not going to say anything. I just want to watch this part." And even he is like, "This is a fantastic moment," and I love that. And I agree. He could have been used more. He could have been used a lot more in Force Awakens. I mean,
literally had no lines in Force Awakens.
So, do you think he's going to be used more in Episode 9?
Jeez, man!
Because he was announced as the main cast.
He isn't. So. See, that's the thing. That's the thing.
Well, he's been tweeting a lot of stuff. He's like, "Guess I got to go back to work now," and things like that.
I swear, because they're not hiding it. Whereas if you were going to do like an Alec Guinness ghost thing, you would not say Mark Hamill's going to be in this movie. You would just, oh, Mark Hamill's in this movie. He's a ghost. Yeah. Oh, they brought him back. But the fact that Lucasfilm was like, Mark Hamill's going to be in this movie, they're not hiding it. It's probably not going to be a Force ghost. He's probably going to be in there quite a bit. I mean, do you see him as a Force ghost?
I see it only Force ghost. I don't see any flashbacks.
I don't see any flashbacks. I don't think
JJ's going to go flashbacks.
I don't think they're going to do flashbacks.
I think he got scared off of flashbacks.
So then he can only be a ghost because he's
dead. But he became one with the Force, though.
Well, yeah, I think he's a Force ghost.
But we don't know that.
So what could he be other than a Force ghost? You think he's going to be something else?
I don't think he's... There's the whole possibility that he didn't actually die. Like he went somewhere else. There's that possibility.
I think Ryan's confirmed in interviews he became one with the Force.
He became one with, like he said, like that's it.
Yeah, I think it's fairly obvious, and then he said it, I think.
I don't know. I'm going to just see what happens. Because if I don't want them to announce that he's going to be in the movie, then he's only in there for like 2 minutes, the same as Alec Guinness was. And
well, that was Force Awakens. They were like, Mark Hamill's back as Luke Skywalker, and you're like, awesome! And then he literally grabs the lightsaber at the end. And...
No, he didn't even grab the lightsaber. In A Force Awakens?
That's true.
Yeah. It was a cliffhanger. Just like, and tune into our Sotex Cinephiles podcast, and you'll hear all about the best cliffhangers in movies. Anyways, and that was one of them. But, you know, I want to see... Yeah, he is going to be... There is the thing that he has to be a Force ghost, but then in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, I bet you Abrams is going to throw something at us that we're not even expecting with Luke.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
He's like a dick in this movie. Like, he's just screwing with Kylo Ren the entire time as a Force ghost.
Well, yeah, that's what we're wanting. We want him to be an actual ghost.
Yeah, as opposed to like you know, Alec Guinness, Obi-Wan was like, Luke, I'm here to guide you. And Luke is more like, nah, man, you're making a mistake. You shouldn't do that, man.
And then if you rewatch the films with the knowledge of, okay, if someone passes away that becomes a Force ghost, only that person that knew him in real life can actually see them as a Force ghost. It seems like that way. So everyone in the First Order is going to be like, what are you looking at? What are you talking to?
Yeah. Psychopath. Yeah.
That's very true.
So that might factor in huge.
Well, and they showed at the end of Last Jedi, Kylo Ren's not an emotionally stable human being.
Yeah.
He's got a couple screws loose, so...
Really?
No. Just a few.
What I hope happens is the same thing... Oops, sorry. Have you ever heard Yoda's voice in the Force? Like, when Yoda hears the Force talking to him, have you ever, like, heard about that? Like, who it is speaking to him?
Qui-Gon, usually.
It's Qui-Gon, yeah. Qui-Gon is the voice that he hears whenever the Force is speaking to him. Like, it's Qui-Gon talking to him, which is why he was able to then teach Obi-Wan the same thing. Like, this is what you gotta do. This is how you gotta... So, part of me is wondering whether or not Luke is gonna be that to Rey, where when Rey is, like, meditating, it's Luke's voice that she's hearing, and Luke that she's meditating with, the same as Yoda meditated with Qui-Gon. I don't know.
So, Qui-Gon technically was the first person to learn how to do that, commune back with the living, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So then Obi-Wan was the second one, and then Yoda became the third. So how did Anakin Skywalker obtain that knowledge?
There you go, man. I have no
idea. It's a mystery, right?
Well, I mean, Obi-Wan could have tried to find... Because he did come back to the light side at the very end. That's been confirmed. Mm-hmm. So maybe Obi-Wan was just like... ready for it, looking for his spirit to come over to the, to become one with the Force. And as it was, he was like, hey, here's how you can commune with the...
Here's the cliff notes of that quiz, so you can come join.
Well, technically, he doesn't say anything as the Force goes. He just pops up and he's like, hey guys,
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Hayden Christensen. See you guys later. So it was. It may have just been like, here's how you do it. And, you know, Anakin was one of the most powerful Force users that has ever existed. So...
Yeah, true.
It's possible that even with very limited knowledge, he could have grasped some form of that technique
quickly. Wouldn't it be crazy if Abrams answers that question in episode 9? Like, he goes, oh, this is why you saw Anakin. Oh, this is why this happened. Oh, this is why this happened.
Freaking Anakin shows up as a Force ghost in episode 9. Geez,
I want to see
it. They had plans in episode 7 for Anakin to show up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They had, like, drawings of him, and I think, they did. They were like, this is what he's going to look like. Yeah. They didn't do that. For some odd reason, they didn't do that. So we have to check what Liam Neeson's doing and what Hayden Christensen are doing, like, in the next couple of months. Because if they fly over to London, everybody has to be, like, on the lookout. Like, where are they going right now? Because it would be crazy to see Qui-Gon again, and it would be crazy to see Anakin again in a Star Wars movie.
And we knew when Frank Oz flew over to the shooting location, I guess Pinewood or...
Mm-hmm.
We automatically knew, okay, well, Yoda's probably in The Last Jedi. Yeah.
It was amazing. That was one of my favorite parts of the whole movie, was seeing Yoda. I was like, oh, my God.
Yes. Yeah, I'm so glad they used a puppet and didn't go CGI.
Well, and they did, like, it was a combo CG puppet thing, I think. Because his face wasn't purely puppet, in my opinion.
I think, I don't know, because, like, when you first see Yoda in The Last Jedi, he does look a little off. I think that's your head just going, did they do CG or did they do real?
Yeah.
But then the close-ups, though, for me, it's puppet, man. He's 100% puppet on those close-ups.
I think it's 100% puppet.
Is it?
They just went back to the original trilogy style and just went all puppet.
But, it looks great.
That was one of my... Yeah, that part was so shocking. And I was like, this is Star Wars. I'm watching Star Wars. Yoda is back. This is fantastic. And I'm the only one in the theater, reacting. Everyone else just...
He went to the wrong theater.
I know, man.
I had so many reactions in my theater.
But then, the second time I watched it, 2 weeks after it came out. I was up in Houston, the sold-out theater. People were yelling. People were screaming. And I was like, this is it, man.
My people.
This is Star Wars. This is the power of Star Wars. This is amazing. But, so, we just hope that Abrams can do that, right? Well, what are you laughing
at? That makes me think of when I saw episode 2 in theaters. I think the second time I saw it. And you see Yoda's shadow hobbling up, and the theater I was watching it in was dead silent. And I'd like to watch movies towards the back in the middle, and I got there early enough to get the seats where I wanted to be. But somebody in the middle of the theater goes, "Oh crap!" so loud.
That's because when I saw episode 2, when that part happened, when you hear the cane, everybody in the theater just went, "Uh oh!"
But it was dead quiet, and somebody in the dead center goes, "Oh crap."
And that part was awesome.
Yeah.
Like, Lucas gave us that amazing moment in episode 2.
And you guys knew that he was going to lightsaber fight, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That was...
I had heard about...
Yeah.
I was so jazzed about that.
They leaked that, before the movie. They were like, hey... And then, even Natalie Portman was on, Rosie O'Donnell. That's how long ago it was. She was on the Rosie O'Donnell show. And she asked her about Yoda. She goes, yeah, they give him a little lightsaber. He has a little moment in there, too, with his lightsaber. And I was like...
A little moment.
That's cool! And then... Looking back, I was like, they shouldn't have told anybody that. They should have just kept it a secret and had everybody just lose their minds.
Yeah.
I hope Yoda is back. Hope Anakin is back. Hope Obi-Wan is back. Hope they're all back in this movie.
Somehow, some way.
That's the only way to finish this.
Plus Ahsoka.
Oh, man. people would have... But then, okay, I want to see Ahsoka. I want to see her. But will other people understand who she is?
Well, yeah, I think Ahsoka's pretty
A large well-known. Majority, mm-hmm. or maybe not a majority. I don't know. It's kind of tough to say because the younger generation absolutely loves Ahsoka.
Yeah.
But, of course, the older generation, the original, I don't think they have any idea who that
is. I follow a lot of Star Wars Facebook pages, and almost every day somebody will ask, I have never seen the Clone Wars. Should I watch it now? No. I've never seen Rebels. Should I watch it? And Rebels, everybody just goes yes, yes, yeah. Like, you need to watch all of that stuff. Because it's canon. It's all part of the story now, and it's It's amazing. Although there's a little discrepancy whenever you see episode 3 and Anakin and Obi-Wan are talking to Grievous, and it's like,
I thought you'd be taller.
What do you mean? We've fought like 275 times in the past. And what was that? You fought in the Clone Wars? Yes. Osmond's an animated figure just like your father. but yeah, we don't talk about the discrepancies in Star Wars, which there are. There are tons of discrepancies in Star Wars, but a lot of fans just kind of just go, it's okay, that didn't happen. Like, my big thing is, why did C-3PO, and I remember you tried to explain it to me in our New Hope commentary, which y'all should go listen to, they're pretty good, where R2 is like trying to follow after them, and then C-3PO looks back after they're sold, and C-3PO is like, all right, I'm just going to keep walking, even though they stopped you from coming. And like, yeah. It was like, was he even going to say anything, or was he just going to sit there and watch him there and all this other stuff? And was C-3PO messing around with Luke that whole time? And he goes, who is she? She's beautiful. And 3PO is like, I have no idea. Like, she may be some woman on the... Yeah.
Yeah.
Or was C-3PO just really that smart?
Well, 3PO was... 3PO and R2 both worked almost exclusively on the Tantive IV, I believe. So he should have known who she was.
And plus, he says it at the beginning where he says, we're doomed. There'll be no escape for the princess this time. Yeah. Like, he knows who she is, so he's just messing.
Well, and he may be programmed to, like, be like, I don't know who this dude is, so I'm going to maybe keep it a little more covert. Mm-hmm. In the Star Wars comics, I mean, that happened, the Poe Dameron comics, he actually runs the droid espionage. He'll send, like, mouse droids into places so that they can do research for him and things like that.
That's awesome.
Or astromechs and stuff like that. So I have a feeling he was probably programmed to be like, yeah, I don't know who that chick is. She is pretty, you're right, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know who she is. I mean, there's a few things like that happen in Star Wars, and I'm always like, what was the real reason behind that? But I still love it. I mean, it's still Star Wars. I'm still going to watch it opening day when it comes out. You know what'd be really cool, though? If we can go see episode 9 as soon as it opens, like, we can go to the premiere to watch episode 9 when it comes out. Is that too far-fetched?
Well, it's not far-fetched for me because I'm part of the 501st. Aren't you? I'm seeing it like 2 or 3 days before it comes out.
I hate you so much right now.
That's another. You guys shaking your heads.
Yeah, that's
cool.
Well,
get a costume and join.
Get a costume and join. I can't be no Jawa walking around. That's all I could be, is a Jawa.
Or an Ewok.
Well, Ewok's not a part of the 501st, though. It's like
that'd be like Rebel Legion.
Could it be an Ugnaught?
I wanted to do
I don't think I've seen an Ugnaught.
I wanted to do Boba Fett, but that's way too expensive.
Well, and that's Mandalorians. That's not 501st.
No, he can be.
You can still. Yeah, it's. Oh, really? If it's like Dark Side Empire, yeah, it's like Darth Nihilus. There's a bunch of them.
I could do Darth Maul. I already got my head shaved. I could just paint my face like Darth Maul.
Bearded Maul.
Yeah.
Bearded Maul, man. You've never seen it before. No one's ever seen that before.
Gonna get the spider legs.
There you go,
dude.
Yeah.
And cool. I get them to work. Like, I walk around. They work. I mean, yeah. I'm not. Oops. I'm not gonna do that. Oh, sorry. Sorry, R2. But anything else this week? Anything else?
I don't think so.
Oh, someone emailed us asking about books. What books to read? Like, they want to get involved in the new stories.
In the new canon.
Yeah, like the new canon. So like, but you have more knowledge of that than I do.
Yeah, I think I've read just about all the novels that are new canon. I haven't finished the second Thrawn book yet, but it's Thrawn. Timothy Zahn has a very particular way of writing that I don't always enjoy because it kind of feels like he thinks he's better than the reader, if that makes any sense. But Claudia Gray, anything she's written is fantastic, especially Leia, Princess of Alderaan, and
Bloodline.
Bloodline was amazing.
I read Bloodline in like 2 days. I could not put that book down. Yeah. Like, I started reading it and I was like, this is one of the best Star Wars books I've ever read.
Yeah, I think that one I set a land record on. I did that one pretty quick. All of the what are they called? The ones with, I made you read them. Empire's End is the last one.
Oh, Aftermath.
Aftermath series, thank you. Those are all very incredible, yes. Too. Those tie...
Chuck Winding.
Yeah.
There's a story.
Oh, okay. Is it on the Sotex?
Yeah, no, it's on the Star Wars stuff. It's one of the, our early podcasts where I was saying Chuck Wendig, and he was like, "Is it Winding?" Or I was like, "It's Wendig." He goes, "Oh, because someone else."
I'm pretty sure it's Wendig.
It's Chuck Wendig.
But he was like, someone else was calling it Winding on another podcast, and everyone else was like, "Dude, it's Winding." Like, that's not his name.
Those are incredible, and those tie in. Those are a good bridge from 6 to 7. Mm-hmm. A very good bridge from 6 to 7.
And then Bloodline also does a really good job of
bridging the stories there too. And this, I love like the little moments that happen in the Aftermath series where it doesn't have anything to do with the main story, but like Jar Jar's got one, like the vignettes, I guess. Jar Jar's got a story. There's a story in there about orphans who live on Coruscant, and they steal information and send it off to the rebellion. They're called the Ankle Biters Brigade. Like, that's awesome. it's just those are so good to me. But all the main characters in that series are just great, and it feels like you're reading a Star Wars story.
Snap Wexley is going to be in episode 9.
Yeah, yes. Good.
Yeah, they announced that he's going to be back in 9, so that's pretty awesome.
And then all the comics have been great, mm-hmm. really. Like, they really have been all good. I've only been getting them in trade, so I'm not caught up to where they are storyline-wise. But the Poe Dameron comics have all been very good if you're looking for something just between 4 and 5. But the Star Wars main storyline comics are very good. And the Vader comics, both series.
I heard the Vader run is really good.
Vader's really good. Yeah, that's
all people are talking about. The newer run of Vader, I think, is better than the original run of Vader. And I love the original run of Vader, so... there you go.
Yeah, so yeah, those are some books. And for all our listeners, and we got like 10 emails, or like we got a few emails, a few messages.
Yeah, if I can remember correctly, there's a guy in Arizona. Mm-hmm. he was listening to us when he was cutting his grass.
Yeah.
And there were several people from the UK,
somebody from Australia.
Yeah, someone from awesome. Australia. Yeah.
And then a kid who at first I got nervous because he said I do it when I'm in school. And I was like, and he goes, but I'm homeschooled. I was like, oh, okay. Like, I think he sent us another email saying I'm homeschooled. So yeah. I was like, oh, okay.
I guess that's okay.
Yeah, because at first I was like, dude, what are you doing, man? You're not supposed to be learning. Thank you, but no. But
he is learning about then, Star Wars.
Yeah, there was Arizona, then like 3 from the UK or 4. From, I don't know. The UK loves us, man. Yeah. Thank you, UK. Yeah, everybody in the UK, thank you so much for listening to us. Everyone around the world, thank you for listening to us. It's pretty great.
World tour.
Yeah.
There's no way we
can. Yeah, everyone on Spotify.
Yes, everyone on Spotify. Yeah, Spotify. Yeah. Thank you. Everyone on Apple, Overcast, thank you so much. And if you want to send us an email telling us, you know, how we are doing or where you're listening at, StarWarsStuffPodcast@gmail.com, or look us up on Instagram, Star Wars Stuff Podcast.
Or topics, if you guys have any idea. If you guys want us to talk about something in particular, I'm sure we could vent about something for a little while.
We could talk for a little bit
just
about
off the top of our heads
about Star Wars. Anything to add?
I think that's it.
All right. Well, all right. Thank y'all for listening, and we hope you have an awesome week.
Happy birthday, James.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, happy birthday, James.
Appreciate it. And may the Force be with you.
Always.